Today on Real Life Radio.
The Bible says this world has been sold under sin. We see all the terrible things about this world in a godless age. You might look around this world and say, where's God in all of this? Listen, God weeps over the condition of this world.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's message, let me tell you about our current featured resource. It's a book by J.I. Packer called Knowing God. A lot of us long for a deeper relationship with God. Packer really helps us to understand that once you dive into the nature and character of God, you'll begin to feel the freedom that you've longed for. So pick up your copy of Knowing God for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with the message titled The Ever-Present Argument of God, Part 5. You know, our series on the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 20, we'll consider the last few days of Jesus here on earth. You see, Jesus is now revealing his identity as the cornerstone and the foundation of our faith. Jesus is the pivotal point on which everything in our lives hinges. If we choose to embrace him, we'll not fall on the stone and be crushed. But if we reject him, we'll face the weight of our own rejection. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that Jesus calls us to make a decision. Will we humbly accept him as our cornerstone, allowing him to mold and shape our lives? We really need to choose wisely. Our eternity hangs in the balance. Now with his message called The Ever-Present Argument of God, Part 5, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Chapter 20, verse 17, and he, Jesus, looked at them and said, what then is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And whoever falls on that stone will be broken. Verse 18 says, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. And so we're talking about the centrality of Christ. And Jesus had been surrounded by his critics. Remember, they were attacking him. By what authority, Jesus, do you do these things? And who gave you this authority? And Jesus has been answering them. And he did it very graphically by a parable. But now he makes this statement, and we looked at it last time in detail. We're not going to go over that point exactly, but the fact that Jesus announced to them that the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. He's speaking about himself, that there are people rejecting Jesus in that day 2,000 years ago, and Jesus is warning the nation, you have rejected me. The religious leaders of Israel, you've rejected me. Just remember this, I am that chief cornerstone. And so he was speaking to them about the grave condition that they were in for having rejected him. But look at verse 18, and this is all the verses we'll have today. Verse 18, whoever falls on that stone will be broken. But on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Bible students, church, listen, I want you to take just two things down today regarding that verse. It's verse 18, and there's two eternal declarations that Jesus makes right here. So serious is Jesus that he says, listen, number one, verse 18, if you fall on that stone, you're going to be broken. I want you to write that down in your note-taking, that that's a good thing. That's a positive. Put a positive sign right there in verse 18 of your margins of your Bible. Positive sign. Verse 18a, that's good news. Fall on the rock and be broken. Or, Jesus warns, in one verse, Jesus speaks about all eternity for mankind. You will either fall upon that rock and be broken, that's the good news, I'll explain later, or that rock will fall upon you and you'll be ground to powder. That's the bad news. That's the negative. Absolute freedom, salvation, and eternity if you fall upon that rock. If you come to Christ and you throw yourself upon him and you cry out to him, or if you refuse him, as the Pharisees were doing, rejecting him, Jesus is warning them that in the end, there'll be a day of judgment when the stone, Christ, in his great judgment will come and he'll grind that person to powder. In one verse, eternity is laid out, and it's an amazing thing. But listen to this. We're talking about the ever-present argument of God, that is, God argues with mankind, and he's declaring, consider my son Jesus, that God loves us, the Bible says so, that God is love. This world is evil, this world is painful, this world is dangerous, we all know that. The Bible says this world has been sold under sin. We see all the terrible things about this world in a godless age. You might look around this world and say, where's God in all of this? Listen, God weeps over the condition of this world. Don't think that if you look at nature exactly, or if you look at mankind exactly, that you're looking at God's perfect manifestation to us. This world has fallen, man. Has somebody attacked you lately? Have you been mocked or ridiculed? Maybe you've been beaten. Maybe you've been mugged. I don't know. Maybe you're suffering financially. Maybe you're suffering with health issues. That is not the world that God intended in the Bible. Do you all understand that? I think this church knows that. This is a world that has fallen. Even in this fallen world, though, there are those actions by God that declare his love for us. But that comes through the centrality of Jesus Christ. You've got to know him today. And I'm not asking you to be religious. I'm not inviting you to take on some religiosity or to become a member of some church that will never get you into heaven. But what Jesus says in verse 18 will. So I'm going to give you five things this morning. Number one is this, regarding the centrality of Jesus, why do you and I need to fall on Jesus, the stone? Why? Well, number one, because Jesus Christ is the only one who can make sense of this life that you and I are living right now. Why do you need Jesus? Because number one thing, in all of this world, in all of the things that are going on, and the things that are going on in your life and mine, it's only Jesus that will make your life sensible. The world is absolutely insane without Christ. And if the world would only pause for a moment and be honest enough to look at the way that it's living a life without God, it's insane. We are people built by God, created by God. The scripture says that you and I have been created by God, body, soul, and spirit. Did you realize that? Only one third of who you and I are physical. And yet, how much energy and effort do you and I spend on nurturing this physique of ours? Apparently, I don't spend much time on mine, but maybe you do. It's only one third of who you are. God says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that I have made you body, soul, and spirit. It's that soul and spirit that will live forever. And by the way, that body, frankly, will also be resurrected. The Bible says in John chapter 5, verses 28 to 29, and Daniel chapter 12, that in the end, all people, did you know this? All people will be resurrected in the end, some to everlasting life. And the Bible says some to everlasting death. And the fine print needs to be read. It's an everlasting living of life, or it's an everlasting living of death. Constantly dying and never being dead, or forever living and never being tired or never running out of that life. Heaven or hell, the Bible speaks. Amazing. And God, who is love, doesn't want you to experience the latter of hell. And Jesus is speaking to that in verse 18. But the Bible declares that God created mankind in his image, that man was created in perfection. We fail to remember that. In the Garden of Eden, man was created perfect. You ever think about that? It's amazing to think. What did Adam and Eve look like? What did they sound like? You know, the Hebrew Old Testament suggests that Adam and Eve were clothed in light. Think of that. I find it interesting that God, who is light, says the Bible, when Jesus came, he was clothed in human skin. The Bible says Adam came first, and then when Jesus Christ came to earth and took upon himself the form of a man, the Bible says he's the last Adam. Why does the Bible say that? Because Adam started out in perfection and sinned. Where Adam sinned, Christ came and picked up that mantle and finished the job. When you read about Jesus in the Bible, and you see how he dealt with temptation, when you see how he dealt with Satan, when you see Jesus, how he dealt with lunatics, he healed them, the dead, he raised them up, the leprous, he cleansed them. You're looking at a life lived in absolute submission to God the Father as an example of how you and I should be living as believers today. My friend, there is this demonic attempt to lower the standard on our lives being lived, on all areas of life. Think about it. Don't shout it out, but what do you do for a living? Chances are your trade or your vocation had a greater calling 20 years ago than it does today because the bar has been lowered so that nobody's feelings are hurt, so that no one's left out. We can't have a standard in our educational system whereby it's such a great target, very few can reach it. No. We've got to get these kids out of here. So let's lower the bar and graduate people who can't read. And that's true in business. It's true in Christianity. It's true in churches. Let's just lower the standard of what God calls us to be so that we'll pack in the church and fill it up. And we won't talk about any other issues. Listen, our God is excellent. And the Bible is very clear that what he has established for us is a real living life. And he wants to live his life through us. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, in Genesis 3, verse 8, it says, and they heard the sound, Adam and Eve did, they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Think about that, church. Can you describe what that means? That Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord walking in the Garden of Eden. I can't even begin to pretend I know what that means. That Adam and Eve interfaced with God. This is pre-fall, pre-sin. They did that every day. That was the daily routine, to walk with God in the cool of the day. But unfortunately, Genesis 3:8 goes on, because this is a little different account. It says, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Why? They had sinned. It was a daily routine for them to walk with the Lord, but now they had sinned against God, and now they're hiding. And then the Lord called out to Adam and said, Adam, where are you? And so he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Listen to the heart of God. And the Lord said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat of? Now, my friends, any of you have kids, you know exactly how this works. Did God know the second they bit that fruit thing? We don't know what it was. We don't know if it was an apple. Could have been an IBM. We don't know. Where are you, Adam? You know what God was expecting, wanting, desiring? That Adam would step out of the bushes. In fact, that's another amazing word in the Hebrew. We see them with the little fig leaf there. And Eve's got fig leaves right there. Right? We've all seen the stories. That's ridiculous. That's not what the Bible says. They were completely covered in shrubs, leaves. All you saw was this. I mean, it's like they had a burqa on. Can you imagine? Like, you see the Taliban girls walking around Afghanistan? Convert that robe, that burqa, into leaves. Adam's, yeah, we're right here, God. What's up? Adam, you look like an idiot. What are you wearing? Oh, covered up because I'm naked. And God says, I told you you were naked. He was trying to get out of them a confession. Have you eaten? He escalates it. Where are you? He wanted Adam and Eve to jump out of the bushes and say, I'm right here. Sorry, we blew it. Adam confesses we're naked. God says, who told you you were naked? Second opportunity to confess. And you know when you bust your kids, what did you do? Did you do that? That question is to provoke in your child repentance, is it not? That your kid would say, I'm sorry, Daddy. Listen, if your kid says, I'm sorry, Daddy, 99% of the discipline's already over. Now you just send them to their room. It's done. Unless your kid comes out of his room or fort or whatever, covered in bushes, and says, what? Well, you need to apply a little bit more pressure to provoke a confession. Who told you you were naked?
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And then thirdly, did you eat of the tree I told you not to eat of? God knew all that. He was trying to get them to say, we're sorry, God. But they didn't do that. In fact, Adam, the knucklehead, he goes from this incredible, perfect state. Listen, guys, and listen, girls. Adam goes from this state of perfection, sins, and his first act is to hide from God. You know any men hiding from God? Secondly, he blames his wife. Know any men who blames his wife? God says, did you eat of that tree? And Adam says, God, the woman, look how devilish his mind went. The woman lied to me. The woman who you gave me. You hear that? And then God says, Eve, what's up? And Eve says, that snake tricked me. And the snake, God speaks to Satan, who's in the snake, and the snake didn't have a leg to stand on. But anyway. The blame. Man has fallen. The Bible says man has fallen from the presence of God. That's why you and I struggle with the things that we struggle with. That's why without Jesus ruling and reigning in our lives and a personal relationship with him, that's why we go from one disaster to the next and we try to cover up our tracks because we're living life on our own. Why? We're fallen. And I need to say this now before this becomes an illegal thing to say. That all of us, the Bible says, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's not bad news. That's honesty. And when you face that and you say, Lord, I've sinned. I've not kept the Ten Commandments. I cheated on a test. Or I lied about biting the dog. Or that's called sin. And God wants us to come and confess it to him so that we might live a healthy life and be free. See, only God makes sense in our lives. And Jesus is warning, whoever falls on that stone will be broken. To come to Christ and to fall on that stone and say, oh God, forgive me. To be in that garden once again and say, oh God, I don't want to cover this up. I want to come to you. The Bible says that whoever covers their sin up will not prosper in this life. You'll have a glaze about you. And I love this. Will you mark this in your Bibles, everybody? Notice this. Whoever, can you circle that word, whoever? Is not God's heart amazing? Whoever. He didn't say Baptist only who fall on the, only those who go to Calvary Chapel. Oh no. What did God say? Whoever. Whoever falls upon that stone. Is that not open? Guys, are you with me? Everybody. Is that not open to everyone? God does not segregate. I know that there are so-called white churches and black churches and Asian churches and Hispanic churches. I think that grieves the heart of God personally. It's my opinion. Is the body of Christ divided? No. Is not the body of Jesus Christ, the church, a montage of people? Absolutely. When God says, whoever falls on that stone will be broken, that's available to every one of us today if we make that decision. I'm going to fall upon Christ today. No one's excluded. If you exclude yourself, it's only you who can exclude yourself. We're not excluding you. No. It's very, very important. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 to 22 says, listen to this, for God in all of his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And by him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of his blood on the cross. This includes you who were once so far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has brought you back as his friends. Listen to this. He has done this through his death on the cross in his own human body. As a result, he has brought you into the very presence of God, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. That's the definition of redemption and atonement. Jesus died on the cross. Church, do you know for how many people did Jesus die on the cross for? All people. How many sins? For what sins did Jesus die on the cross for? All sin. Wouldn't it be beautiful if everybody went to heaven? Yes, it'd be. In fact, the Bible even says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. But read the fine print. There are those who want to reject him and not have anything to do with Jesus in their lives. Think of it. What is wrong with us? That we would reject him and shove him away from us. Isn't that what our first mom and dad did though, Adam and Eve? We're hiding, we're in the bushes, we're trying to cover this up. We need to come to the rock and fall on the rock. Whatever sins we are guilty of this morning, I'm not going to say if we are, we are. Have we gone to the cross? Have we gone to him and said, Lord, forgive me? And I tell you, for those of you who know what I'm talking about, and I trust, I hope all of you do, there's such an immediate release when you go to him. Listen, with all due respect, there is no pill on the planet that can achieve that. You can take your pill, you can drink your drink, you can snort your crack or whatever you snort, or you can put that needle in your vein. It will only last for so long. And then you're right back to the same place you started at. Oh, my dear friend, today you can lay down your ambition and your pursuits and your cover-up. You can lay it down, man. And if you go to him, and you can do that. You can do that right now. You can do it later today. You can do it in the closet of your bedroom, or you can do it in the bathroom of your house or on the freeway, anywhere. And you say to him, Lord, forgive me. I don't want to cover this up anymore. And he'll take that away. With all due respect, you can't go to a therapist or a psychologist or a life coach that can make a difference in this area. It's impossible. Why? Because you are a son and daughter of Adam and Eve, and only going to the rock and falling on him will ever make that right again. It's absolutely vital. Number two, why do we need to fall on Jesus? The stone? It's because Jesus Christ is the only one who can make sense of the pain and sorrow of this life. I want to tell you straight up, and I want to tell you honestly, and I don't want you to ever forget this. If we ever tell our children or our friends or our family members when they're hurting, or your husband or your wife when they're hurting, you know what? Just trust Jesus. What are you saying to them? When we graduate our kids out of church and send them into the world, we better be careful that we don't just tell them, you know what? Just read your Bible when tough times come. You say, Jack, what are you saying? I'm saying that that is not fully the answer. The Bible is the answer, and you are to trust Jesus. But if you are to tell them, oh, you know what? If you walk with God, there'll be no bumps and bruises in life. You guys, we're feeding our kids a bunch of baloney. We have rough times in this life. Do not Christians get cancer? Don't Christians get fired from their jobs? Don't Christians get diseases? Don't Christians crash in car accidents? Yes. Then how can a good God allow this to happen to me, one of his own kids? Because we live in a fallen, painful, evil world. And if we don't teach our kids the truth about what the Bible teaches, that in the midst of all of this stuff that we go through, God is greater. If we show them, listen, son, daughter, when you get to college, when you get to junior high, high school, you better expect kids are going to attack you for being a Christian. Don't tell them it's not going to happen. Tell them it's going to happen. You take a stand for Christ, you're going to get attacked. And if they don't attack you, guess what? There could be a little bright spot on that X-ray. And what are you going to do? Listen to me. You say, Jack, move on to the next point. Not yet. You want to know why? Most people polled who have given up on God have given up on God because they didn't think God answered them the way that he should have answered them. I'll give you one name. And this man changed the course of the world. And in my opinion, he's 10 times worse than any Adolf Hitler or Saddam Hussein that's ever lived. And you're going to be shocked when I tell you. He professed to be a believer. He was baptized. His family throughout history had gone to church and were Christians. This particular man, personally, I don't believe he ever believed in Christ. He was religious, but his daughter got sick. His daughter died. And the day that his daughter died, he said, I will never talk to you again. He said, I will never go into a church again. You know who I'm talking about? Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin died fighting against the God that he tried to prove didn't exist because God didn't answer Darwin's prayer request the way Darwin wanted it to be answered. Ladies and gentlemen, Darwin failed to understand that we live in a world that is full of pain and sorrow and suffering, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And when they give you that X-ray or when they give you that pink slip, God is greater. What are you going to do about that? You say, Pastor, that hasn't happened to me. Cheer up, it will.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called The Ever-Present Argument of God, Part 5. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. We all know how tough life can be, so how do we make it better, richer, and filled with more joy? Check out our current featured resource called Knowing God by J.I. Packer. Once you dive into the nature and character of God, you'll begin to feel the freedom that you've longed for. Knowing God explores the profound meaning of the Christian faith and guides you towards a deeper personal relationship with God the Savior. Knowing God by J.I. Packer is yours for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.